Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom he died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. You know, friends, there's no way that we can serve God without God Himself working in us both the will and the do of His good pleasure. Let's talk about it, Saints. I'm talking about heavenly fuel that is the result of upholding Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. In fact, we see it conversely here in Colossians chapter 2, where he speaks of the Apostle Paul, the Holy Spirit, and of false counterfeits, false ministries, false prophets that are not holding, that means upholding, the head, capital H-E-A-D. They're not upholding Christ, from which all the body, by joints and bands having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. You see, as long as Jesus is being elevated and truly worshiped in spirit and in truth among his people, divine virtue from heaven is flowing to nourish and minister to the body of Christ by every joint, every band in your body, ligaments, your everything. It's a picture of the presence of God flowing from heaven, the river of living water from the throne of God, Revelation 22:1, flowing into the members of the body of Christ and causing there to be an increase of God, quote unquote. This is Colossians 2:19. If you ever dig into that and grasp that revelation, not my revelation, I don't have anything good to give you, but the Word has the divine revelation of God concerning Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost, the Father, and the body of Christ. And when we're worshiping Jesus and the Father in spirit and in truth, according to the truth of God, which is the Word of God, then nourishment is flowing from heaven into our individual lives. Let me say it again, that you and I cannot serve God outside of God's working in us and filling us. Remember, Jesus taught that the kingdom of heaven was likened unto 10 virgins which were espoused to the great bridegroom, that's Jesus, and only 5 of them stayed in fellowship with him, and that fueled their vessels, if you will, their lamps, with light, so that they could tread through the darkness to meet the great bridegroom and be received into the bridal chamber, whereas the other ones, their vessels, that would equal your spirit, your body, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. And if you don't remain in fervent, intimate fellowship with the Lord, if you're not seeking the face of God, hungering and thirsting after his righteousness, you are one of the foolish virgins whose vessel has run dry, and therefore you don't have the fuel of the grace of God from heaven working in you to propel you toward him and to finish your race. See, Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. You got to fight to finish, friends. You got to fight, finish, and keep. FFK. Okay. The kingdom of heaven is suffering violence. And it's only those that are full of the Lord who are the violent, that are taking it by force. I don't really think any of us really realize that we are in a battle for our souls and for the souls of men. Okay, blessed are they, notice, which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they, who's they? Those that are hungering and thirsting after righteousness shall be filled. Now, do we see how all of these scriptures are fitting together, if you will, in a beautiful tapestry as only the Holy Spirit could do? So who are those that are going to be filled, as in the wise virgin believers who were filled and therefore were fueled by God and able to complete the journey and end up in the eternal bridal chamber, whereas the other five foolish virgins who did not seek the Lord, would be the equivalent of the illustration there, did not remain in fellowship with him, ran dry, and they weren't able to endure to the end. See, God works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure as we work out, that means walk out, not work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. You see, we're saved by grace through faith, but that's not all it says. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. So those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, it's them that are going to be filled and fueled by the Lord himself and enabled to overcome. Jesus said you have to overcome. He told every one of the seven churches, okay, churches of Revelation 2 and 3 of Asia, that they had to overcome in order to be with him. It doesn't matter if you like this or not. This is according to the record of God, the original gospel. Some listening to me have been sold this fairy tale that they got saved and they're automatically going to be in heaven no matter what. You have been lied to, and it's all your fault because you have a Bible. Now, it's not your fault that you've been lied to. It is your fault that you bought the lie. See, Jesus said you have to endure to the end. You have to overcome. Don't like it? Too bad. You got an issue with God and you need to repent. That's your issue. You need to repent because you're disagreeing with the Almighty, and you are not only preaching, but you're following a false gospel. Because that's not according to the original gospel record. Some people go through the New Testament and they want to pick out what they like and ignore the rest. Well, see how that ends up. That's going to end up in hell because you're calling God a liar. You've got to endure to the end to be saved ultimately. The scripture speaks of initial and final salvation, not just a one-time event. It all starts right there in your personal life. The initial time God brings you to repentance, you comply, you put your faith in Christ and the only Savior, and now you're saved, but you're not home yet. You're a king's kid, but you're not home yet. You got to walk out your own salvation. What does the grace of God really look like? What does it really look like? You see, all of these phony grace teachers, as they call themselves, Calvinistic cowards, they'll never take you to this passage. Oh, no. They would have to do far too many acrobatics to take you to Titus 2 or to go through the book of Hebrews. So let's see what the Bible, the grace giver himself, has to say about saving grace. Notice Titus 2:12. Let's start in verse 11. For the grace, the grace of God, that's the only way you can be saved, that bringeth salvation, hath appeared to all men. Does that mean all men are saved? No. Jesus said, few there be which enter in thereat. Even though the salvation of God is to all men, he only saves those who make the choice to comply with him, to agree with him, and to repent and receive Christ. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And what does it do when it's in a person's life? Teaching us, wait a minute. He's talking about the grace of God is teaching. What? Wow. So if I've got the grace of God in my life, the true saving grace of God, notice in verse 11, grace of God, salvation are the two biggest words there. So we're saved by grace through faith. And what is it teaching us? Verse 12, quote unquote, teaching us. Here it is. You want to see who's saved? Here it is. Denying ungodliness and worldly lust. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. Why did he give himself for us? That he might redeem us from all, notice the word all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar, a special people, zealous of good works. Notice again the pattern here. We're saved by grace, verse 11. Grace is teaching us to be holy before the Lord as he is holy, and we're zealous of good works. That's what the life of a true heaven-bound disciple of Christ really looks like. And that's the same pattern the Holy Spirit follows in that order, in, as we quoted earlier, Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. You're saved by grace through faith. That is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. If you don't see the good works of God, by the way, that doesn't save anybody. But it's always the evidence of those who are saved by faith. See, grace teaches us to deny ungodliness, according to Titus 2, 11 and 12, to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Somebody said, well, I haven't always done that. Thank God that your past is your past. And today is the first day of the rest of your life. And you can go before God afresh to his throne of what? Grace. Don't you love it? It's not the throne of judgment yet, but it's a throne of grace. And you can obtain mercy and find grace, divine enablement to help in time of need. And when you're walking in the grace of God, you are being taught by God to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And you're looking for the blessed hope of Jesus' glorious appearing. Verse 13. Understanding, verse 14, that he gave his life for you as a special member of his body, a peculiar people, to redeem you, not from some or 90% of iniquity, but from, quote, all iniquity, and to purify unto himself a peculiar, a special people, zealous of good works. That is the Bible definition of grace and how it works in our lives. And if we're claiming to be saved by grace, and yet these other things are not resident and clear in our lives, and we might need to go back to the altar. In the divine economy, grace is the fuel of God as we tread down the narrow way that leads to life. Jesus promised us that few there be which enter in thereat. In fact, he said this, he said, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth unto life." Let me read that again. Hold on. "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction." Broad is the way. Broad is the way. It's a wide way. "And many there be which go in thereat." So how many people are going to hell? Many. Most. Because then he continues, "Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be which find it." So the two of the most important words in this passage, Matthew 7, 13 and 14, is many and then few. See, many are going into eternal destruction, irrevocably into hell, down the broad way that leads to death and destruction. Someone once said that any old dead fish can float downstream. It takes a live one to swim upstream. See, straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Jesus continues, verse 15, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, and many of them call themselves grace teachers. These are not grace teachers that won't teach you what we just looked at in God's word right there in Titus 2:11-15. You see, they're not going to teach you that. Why? Because they have something to lose. They have painted this picture of grace that is a perversion of the grace of God, as Jude warned us in Jude verse 3. "These certain men are crept in unawares," or undetected by the undiscerning, "who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness." See, a grace that doesn't call you to holiness, especially in light of the return of Christ, who's coming back for a church without spot or blemish or any such thing, but one that is holy before him, Ephesians 5:25-27, is a grace perverting wolf from hell. John Piper, Chuck Swindoll, John the Devil MacArthur. These are all Calvinist grace teachers, quote unquote. These men are not grace teachers. These men are grace perverting wolves that the Bible says are ungodly men. They're telling you, you can't lose your salvation. Against the whole testimony of Scripture, they are lying to you. In the very Garden of Eden, mankind didn't ever know sin, and they lost their place with God. So why couldn't you? God kicked them out of his presence for disobeying him. He told them, because he loved them and wanted to protect them in that relationship they had with him, that to not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. "For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die," Genesis 2:17. And Satan, who? Satan came back and said to them, "You," quote, "you shall not surely die." So he added one three-letter word. He told them, essentially, you're once saved, always saved. You're once in grace, always in grace. But what happened? God kept his word because he is holy, holy, holy. That's one of the truths from Scripture. It's the only divine attribute mentioned three times in a row. in triplicate, not only once, twice, Old and New Testament, Isaiah 6:3, Revelation 4:8, but these so-called modern-day grace teachers, these grace-perverting demonic wolves, are never going to tell you anything about the holiness of God, because they're too busy selling gullible dupes, and that's what you are if you have bought these lies, on the idea that they're eternally secure. You are not eternally secure until you're in heaven in glory with the Lord. He requires you to endure to the end, and the only way you're going to do that is to seek His face. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 11. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. Memorize it and obey it. See, these false prophets come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. They're not going to teach you what Jesus taught in John 15, that those that are saved must abide, that means remain and continue in Him, or they're going to be cast into the fire. What other fire could that be other than hell? None. That's what it is. John chapter 15, verse 6. Somebody says, well, wait a minute, in John 10, oh, wait a minute. So you're going to go ahead and make one thing Jesus said more important than the other? Well, let's look at where we're going to go here in John 10, 28 and 29, where no man shall pluck you out of my hand. Wait, whoa. That's a promise to who? Verse 27. You don't even know it exists, most of you, that are grace, these so-called grace believers who believe that you have no more personal responsibility to actually serve the Lord. You've been lied to, you receive lies, and you need to repent. Jesus said that those that are going to be kept in His hand and no man can pluck them out are those that are hearing the Word of God and responding to the Great Shepherd. Okay, what does it say? John 10, verse 27. See, that's the condition. Anybody teaching you the promises without the conditions is a wolf. My sheep, he's talking to who? My sheep. Now he defines them. They hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Oh boy. That's the condition for verse 28 and 29, which says, now he says, I give unto them, who's them? His sheep. And what is this? How do you know His sheep? They know Him, or He knows them. They hear His voice, His word, and they do what? They follow Him. Present tense. Salvation begins at a one-time event when you're born again, but that's not what it's limited to. It's a lifelong experience. And if you don't endure to the end, you're going to be like one of the five foolish virgins who are going to be shut out of the bridal chamber of eternal glory with the great bridegroom Christ. It doesn't matter if you like that or not. If you don't like it, it's because you're a rebel and you are in need of repentance, you foul sinner. Repent now. I give unto you them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Why? Because they're walking with Him. They're hearing His voice. He knows them, and they are following Him. Brother, are you saying they're sinless perfection? I didn't say that. No, but they go back to the well, baby. They go back to the throne of grace, and they confess their sins honestly before the Lord, and He shows them mercy, the sure mercies of David, which are guaranteed to everyone that's truly in Christ. Okay? And they receive not only mercy for those sins, but grace to help in time of need, to where their lives are being transformed and they're not stuck in the same sins, but are overcoming. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. See, a lot of people claim they know Christ. The big question is, does He know you? I can tell you this, He does not know you as one of His, and you are not being kept, and you don't have the promise of not being plucked out of His hand if You're not hearing his voice and following him. Now, the rebel, the eternal security moral coward, does not want anything to do with the daily cross, the crucified life, and actually being personally accountable to the Lord that they claim has saved them. These are counterfeits, and they're going to hear, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Matthew 25. Amen. No man is going to pluck out of the hand of God those who are truly his and hearing his voice and following him. A relationship requires the participation of both parties. Why do you think the five wise virgins were accepted and received openly and gladly and joyfully? Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Why do you think they were received into the bridal chamber to be eternally with the great bridegroom, Matthew 25, 1 through 13, because they participated in a relationship with the great bridegroom on his terms. By the way, this is an open book test. God's terms exist from Genesis to Revelation, Bible 101. Okay, why were the five foolish virgins rejected? Why was the door into the eternal bridal chamber with Jesus, the great bridegroom, shut on them? Because they didn't want to participate in a relationship with him. How many men that do you know that have a sane, sound mind are going to get engaged to a woman who they realize later on down the road, as they're looking forward to the marriage date, that, wait a minute, this woman does not really want to participate in a relationship with me? How many of those men do you think are going to marry that woman? They're not. They're going to shut her out of the marriage, of the bridal chamber, and go find somebody else that loves them. And you're going to say that the Son of God, the sinless, precious, beautiful Son of God, the Holy Lord Jesus Christ, is going to bring somebody into the eternal bridal chamber of the New Jerusalem in heaven that doesn't even want to be with him? Yeah. Yeah. You're pipe dreaming, buddy. You're delusional. Okay, Jesus is sheep of the vine in John 10:27. They hear his voice. Why? Because they're listening to it. They're searching the scriptures. Jesus said in John 8:47, two chapters before this, he that is of God, that would be Jesus' sheep, hears God's words. Don't tell me you love God and you don't feed on his word every day. He's not your savior. He's a hobby to you. You're trying to use him to get you out of hell, but you don't love him. That's what some of these fake fiance women do to men. Now, that can go the other way around, but the Bible gives the illustration of the great bridegroom, ladies, so don't take that too personal. I mean, if you're engaged to a man, ladies, that doesn't have time for you, you ever watch Hallmark movies? You know, it's the same script for every one of them, right? And you'll have this guy that's so into his business, he doesn't have time for the lady he's engaged to, right? Remember all that? It's in just about every one of them. It's the same script again. And then she realizes, this guy doesn't really love me. I can't marry him. Same thing here. That's what we're talking about, folks. God uses parables. These are illustrations. They have a heavenly meaning. They're earthly stories with heavenly meanings. Okay, this isn't my example or my illustration. This is the example of Jesus in his teaching in Matthew 25, 1 through 13, where he speaks of the bridegroom. That represents him. Okay, and then five foolish virgins who did not want a relationship with him. Remember, Jesus told the Ephesian believers that they had some good things going on, but they had left their first love, and he had that against them, and he told them they must repent. if you're not engaging in an obedient hearing the voice of Jesus, his word, and following him relationship, you are a foolish virgin believer. And thank God you're hearing my voice. You can repent. Revelation 2, 4, and 5. And return to your first works. Every time somebody, anytime somebody is following Jesus, they go back to their first works. What is that? Loving everybody and sharing the word of God with other people. Overflowing out of your life. Don't tell me you have a relationship with Jesus and it's not overflowing and spilling out on other people. Impossible. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. And that filling is the presence of God, the grace, the resurrection life of Christ in them. And that's what fuels them to do those good works, because they're created, saved by grace and created unto good works. And that grace is working in them and ministering to others. The fruit of that relationship, the good works, do not save anyone, but they're always going to be evident and evidence of a person that's truly saved by grace. Remember, those that are saved by grace are doing what? They're learning to live godly in this present world. Now, we're going to transition here in just a second as we close, but I'd be remiss not to finish this Titus 2, 11 through 15 passage. And let me encourage you to make this your spiritual meat this week. Titus 2, 11. Go to Titus 2, 11 and read to the end of the chapter, which is only verse 15. There is a wealth of divine truth and revelation here that you're going to need in order to discern the ungodly men, Jude verse 4, that are perverting, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, which is a license to sin. Okay? Notice these guys don't call themselves holiness preachers. They don't care about the holiness of God. They care about exploiting others by tickling their ears, 2 Timothy 4, 2 through 4, as they purposely and deliberately withhold the full counsel of God's word, including that he is holy, holy, holy. You see, it's time for us to read the King James Bible for ourselves and obey it and stop following men. Follow Jesus. Jesus gave you his word. You have no excuse. You're going to be judged against his written word, John 12, 48. Heaven and earth is going to pass away, but my word shall never pass away. That means to be diminished. And that's why you need a King James Bible, because the other ones have diminished from his word. The NIV is 64,000 words shorter because it's been stripped. The manuscripts, the perverted manuscripts from which the new versions come, have been stripped and perverted. Clearly, we have a great cache of information on this topic. Don't believe me. Do the comparison for yourself between versions. And if you're a man or a woman of truth that fears God, you're not going to keep reading a fake Bible and justify the blood of Christ being removed from Colossians 1:14. And that's okay with you? Wow. How about Romans 8:1 chopped in half? And that's okay with you? Wow. Okay, back to Titus 2, 11 through 15. Then we're going to transition into ministry fuel from heaven. Notice Titus 2, 11 through 15. Let's read it again together, friends. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, here it is, grace teaches. If you don't see this in somebody's life that claims to be saved, you can only be saved through grace, then you know this person is not really saved. That's a false grace. That's not saving grace. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us what? Denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Right now, not in heaven, right now, or you're not going to be in heaven, looking for how many people are excited about the return of our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords is coming, ready or not. Jesus said, "Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when you think not." I am going to post at the bottom of this post some recent messages that were done on this topic. One of them is called the Sanctified Cleansed Church. Jesus is returning for. Love it, love it. All right, and then the other one is called what? Okay, here it is. No, that's it. Okay, the Sanctified Cleansed Church, Jesus is returning for. What a blessing. Check it out. We've got the return of Jesus, or the return of Christ category on the drop-down menu on safeguardyoursoul.com that is absolutely amazing, chocked full of encouragement to you to fuel you with the Word of God concerning the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, Titus 2, picking up in verse 13, looking for those that are saved by the grace of God truly are doing what? They're also looking for the blessed hope. Wow. How many people you know are excited about being saved and for the Lord to return? Now, I know some, and you know some, but a lot of these churchgoers, all they can talk about is how wonderful their pastor is. Let me tell you, with great conviction, I'm concerned about those people. You're not talking about Jesus, the nail-scarred, risen Savior, but all you can do is talk about how much you love your church and your pastor. So I don't want to hear about him. I don't want to hear about me either. I want to hear about the one who came and showed us the Father, gave us his teaching, lived a sinless life, went to the cross, was crucified for our sins, buried and raised again from the dead, and is going to come back soon, ready or not. So if you're saved by grace, you're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing. It's going to be so glorious beyond what we can comprehend in the flesh at this time. Looking for that blessed hope. What is that blessed hope? The glorious and the glorious appearing. Jesus is coming. Hallelujah. Of the great God and our there it is again. Jesus Christ is God. The glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. Why did Jesus come to the earth and give himself for us? That he might redeem us from all iniquity. You're not a heaven-bound believer. If you're not seeking God, you can't do it in and of yourself. But the fuel of God that comes from seeking his faith, remember, those that hunger and thirst after his righteousness shall be filled. And his grace that they're going to be filled with is going to give them the divine enablement over, quote, all iniquity. That should be your goal. You should not be happy with any sin in your life. 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all, not some, all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You can't even find somebody that's going to teach on the holiness of God from the Bible, which is only enabled by the grace and the power of Christ in you, raising you up out of that crucified and buried posture, much less to find somebody like the Holy Spirit through Paul, who was saying that you should be perfecting holiness. We can't even find anybody among 100 preachers to preach on the holiness of God, much less somebody that is preaching on perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Memorize it. Having therefore these promises. Dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. When's the last time you heard a message on the fear of God? All right, I'm going to leave it at that for right now. Who gave himself for us? Why did Jesus give himself? That he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar, a special people. Now do you see why Jesus said, few there be that enter in thereat? Are you starting to see more and more how apostate, how departed from the truth of God is that which claims to be the church today? Who are not enduring sound doctrine. We scarcely find people that will preach the whole word. 2 Timothy 4, 2 through 4. And those that will, embrace sound doctrine? No, they're not embracing sound doctrine. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2 through 4. No, they are not enduring sound doctrine. But after their own lust, see, they run to these grace teachers and other false teachers who aren't teaching the whole counsel of God, as we're showing you right here. I mean, how many people listening to me right now are reckoning with themselves and also sitting under preaching that is saying Jesus came to redeem you from all iniquity, all your sins. He came to forgive it and cause you to overcome it and to purify unto himself your life as a peculiar person that is zealous of good works, the good works of the Lord, that are fueled by his grace working in you, that's teaching you, according to this text, that you're to deny ungodliness. It's teaching you to definitely deny ungodliness and worldly lust, to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world as you look for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. I don't want to hear another person tell me how much they love their church or their pastor and how wonderful he is. He may be. I don't want to hear about him. He didn't die for your sins. Get over it. Does he have nail-scarred hands and feet? And if he did, it wouldn't matter. He's a sinner. Who are you worshiping? Okay, you may be going to hell. If you got, you know, idol shepherds, Zechariah 11, 17, they made idols out of their shepherds. Repent and follow Jesus. Okay, verse 15, the last verse in our text. These things speak, everything we just read, and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Rebuke with all divine authority, because this is God speaking. Let no man despise thee. Don't back down. You speak and preach the word of God. Do not compromise. May God fill you with his holy fear and a holy conviction. You see, God has to work in us before he can work something through us. Okay? God has to do that work, and that all comes out of our relationship with him, and that's not happening unless you're spending quality time with him in the word and prayer, seeking his face. Let's finish up here. 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, Paul wrote, I am what I am. Amen. That's what we are. We're saved by grace through faith. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Amen. But I labored. How many people have you fed the word to recently? I'd be concerned if you're not ministering to others. There ain't no way that you are a new creature in Christ, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, old things having been passed away, and that's not ministering out from you to others. I would be very concerned. Paul said he labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. See, when the grace of God is in you, there's ministry grace, divine enablement, and influence on your heart, and His grace is laboring in you. I don't know about you. I love this revelation. See, God didn't bestow, Paul said, His grace upon him in vain. Paul continued with the Lord and was obedient, but I labored more abundantly than they all, more than other believers and ministers. Yet not I, catch this, but the grace of God which was in me. Isn't it amazing that the grace of God is laboring in His believer, in His disciples in the earth today? Amen. I want to encourage you to go to the grace category also on safeguardyoursoul.com. God bless you, friends. I'm glad we had these moments together. And I pray that God would instill in us the holy fear of God. According to David's prayer in Psalm 11, he prayed that the Lord, Psalm 86, unite my heart to fear thy name. Amen. Psalm 86:11. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. What a great prayer. Thanks, friends, for your prayers, for this outreach, the fruitfulness of it, and also the supply. Another man today received, he's a brother in Christ, actually. I got some food and then prayed, and God, I was bringing it to one guy, and then I couldn't find him, and I said, all right, Lord, this is a hot meal, and I know you got somebody who needs this meal, Lord. Just show me. It wasn't 5 minutes later. This guy was homeless, good brother in Christ, waiting on some money to come through that he, in his retirement, had. He got in some unfortunate accident. There's a lot of people that blow smoke on the streets. Trust me, I've been doing this for decades. But this guy was telling the truth. He wasn't asking for anything. He was very thankful. He was in tears. I was in tears too, because it was a divine connection. Anyway, your gifts allow us to sustain and continue to thrust forth the Word of God further. Amen. Not only locally, but internationally through the website, etc., and many of the operations that are going on here in dropping things into prisons, Bibles, King James Bibles, and the scripture-rich, Christ-centered books that we have in the ministry, including the Born Again, God Has a New Life for You Today book, etc. So we do thank you for that, and God bless you, and thank you for your prayers. And if you'd like prayer, please keep it brief and email me at info@safeguardyoursoul.com. Amen. Jesus is coming soon. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcast on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture rich and Christ centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month. And your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site. And you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so. And a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together, in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.